Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on Hope for Today, we began studying Luke chapter 9 in verses 23 to 27. Our study was titled, The High Cost of Discipleship. We weren't able to finish our study last time, so on today's edition of Hope for Today, we'll continue this study. Let me begin by reading the scripture text, Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 to 27. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. If you and I want to be Jesus' disciples, we must understand life is not about us. It's about Him. The only thing that matters is what He wants. Now I admit, that's painful for me and I don't like it. And I believe you'll find it to be the same for you. But we really don't have any other option. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, then He said, we must die to self. And he went on to add, it needs to happen daily. The patriarch Abraham modeled this truth so beautifully in his willingness to offer Isaac on the altar. Remember, all of the promises God made to Abraham were wrapped up in that young man. And God said, I want you to offer him to me. God was testing Abraham to see if his trust was in the promise God had made or actually in the God who made the promise. You know, there was no way Abraham could do that until he died to self. He had to give up his plans, his hopes, his future, yes, his identity. In Abraham's mind, will, and emotions, the deed was done. He had died to Isaac emotionally. His identity was lost and it was gone. And he had to rely on God to restore it. That was his only hope. It's the same with us. All the things that make up your identity and my identity must be laid on the altar. We must disown them. We must give them up. This is the first factor in the high cost of discipleship. The second factor then is take up your cross. Now, maybe you've heard someone talk about a grouchy neighbor or an ungrateful spouse or a nasty coworker. And they say, well, I guess that's just my cross to bear. Or maybe it's an illness or a physical limitation that's referred to as a cross. But I ask you, is that what Jesus is talking about? Jesus and the 12 lived under the Roman occupation of Israel. The Jews were a conquered people. And you may recall from history that Rome was fairly tolerant of those nations and people who submitted themselves to its governance. But for those who rebelled, as the Jewish people often did, the Romans were merciless. Their primary form of capital punishment was crucifixion, and the people of Jesus' day had seen crosses by the hundreds and perhaps even thousands, and they hated the Romans for it. At crucifixion, the condemned person was flogged almost to the point of death and then compelled to carry the crossbeam of their cross to that place of execution. Now that wooden crossbeam could weigh anywhere between 75 to 125 pounds. Once at the crucifixion site, The condemned was stripped completely naked and either tied by cords or nailed to that crossbeam. Then the crossbeam was hoisted into place in a notch on the upright, and it was secured. The victim's feet could then be nailed, one on either side of the upright. The crosses held the victim's feet just a few inches off the ground, not high in the air like we often see in pictures. What that did was it left the condemned exposed to humiliation by those who passed by. They could mock him to his face. They could taunt him. They could spit on him. And then death was slow, but it usually occurred within 36 hours, a day and a half. The pain of the infected wounds and the weight of the body compressing the lungs and then dehydration, all of those things just added to the torment. Often the bodies were left to decay on the cross and be devoured by scavengers. And so when Jesus mentioned the cross, that's what the disciples saw in their minds. It was an instrument of the cruelest, most degrading form of death. They knew that those who took up the cross never returned. So why did Jesus use this terminology? Well, first of all, it was the death he was facing. And we know from his struggle in the garden that his flesh recoiled from it. It seems to me that Jesus wanted to impress upon his disciples that this excruciating method of death would be to the physical body what death to self would be to the spiritual and emotional part of us. You know, our flesh dies hard. It hangs on tenaciously to life. We want to retain control. But Jesus says, count the cost. If you're not willing to take up the cross and die the kind of death I will die, you cannot be one of my disciples. And you know, this cross that Jesus was urging them to take up was voluntary. No one was or is compelled to be a disciple of Christ. But you might ask, who in their right mind would voluntarily submit themselves to such suffering and death? Well, in order to answer that question, you have to look at the alternatives. Notice that in verses 24 and 25, Jesus used the terms of commerce, profit, and loss. He says, whoever protects his physical life, whoever cares more for his body than for the Lord's commands, will lose his spiritual life. He will lose his crown. Now, that doesn't mean we neglect the care of our physical bodies. There are other scriptures that deal with that subject. What's in view here is the focus on sacrificing spiritual to protect physical. That will lead to eternal loss. I heard the story of a couple who felt called by God to serve on a foreign mission field. They accepted that call, and they went to share the gospel with a tribal people in the jungles of Southeast Asia. In their years of service there, the Lord began to bless them with a family, and they eventually had four sons. One of the dangers this family faced in the jungle environment was snakes. So as the boys began to grow older, their father became concerned about them going into the jungle. He feared they'd fall prey to one of these snakes. And he allowed that fear to work on his mind and to become so acute that he finally decided to move his family back to the United States, even though he knew God had called his family to minister to these tribal people. Well, having been on the mission field, they arrived back in the United States without much by way of finances. They had some friends in the deep south part of the country who offered to let them live in a camper on the edge of their property. So they moved into it. One day, the three oldest boys were playing outside and they decided to explore what was under the camper. While they were doing that, they got into a nest of rattlesnakes. That's a poisonous snake we have in certain parts of the United States. They got into this nest of rattlesnakes and they were bitten repeatedly. The father heard their cries and the commotion. And by their broken and confused stories, he realized what had happened. And so he grabbed all three of those boys, hustled them into the pickup truck, and while he was shouting to his wife about what had happened, rushed off for the distant hospital. In his panic, he failed to see the smallest boy who had come out of the house, And so just as the wife comes out of the house to see what all the commotion is about, she sees the pickup truck back over the youngest boy and kill him. She sat down on the steps of that camper, had a heart attack, and died right there. And that father didn't make it to the hospital in time with those three sons because it was too far away. He lost his entire family because he had a fear of snakes. He lost the very thing he was trying so hard to protect. Now that's a tragic story, but I believe it illustrates the point Jesus was making here. We must be willing to follow him even to the point of death. You know, as I said earlier, this commitment is voluntary. There's no coercion. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, then you must take up the cross. You must take up your responsibility to actively crucify the flesh. And it's something that must be done every day. Now, you might think all of this talk about denying self and crucifying the flesh is depressing. But it's reality. Reality we don't hear much about in today's version of what it means to be a Christian. I don't know how it is in your country, but in mine, we honor athletes who practice radical physical disciplines in pursuit of momentary glory in the spotlight. But then we ridicule Christians who practice self-discipline. We say they're narrow-minded or legalistic. Part of the reason I believe we do that is because their example puts us to shame. Are you and I willing to surrender the glory of the Son of Man, the glory of God the Father, and the glory of the holy angels, as Jesus talks about it here, for the temporary applause and approval of men? That's not a worthwhile trade, as I see it. For the true disciple of Jesus, suffering is a reality. And it won't be just the world that is the source of that suffering. Oh no, much of it will come from religious people, just like it did for Jesus and his disciples. The message of the cross is offensive. It causes people to react against it. But Jesus said, if we take up the cross daily and follow him, we are assured of eternal life. You know, friend, there's a glory yet to come that will far outstrip any kind of earthly glory the world has ever seen. Jesus said, whoever is willing to lose his or her life for the sake of the gospel will gain eternal life and the approval of the Father. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The High Cost of Discipleship. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, once again, is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The High Cost of Discipleship. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on the high cost of discipleship. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.